Good morning. Today's daf from Baba Kama, Kuf Tes Vav. It's 1:15. We're a little bit behind. We're on 1:14. We're on 1:14a. And we're going to be starting this morning with the words Tanan Hasam. We started yesterday a very basic machlokus between Tanayim. At what point in time is there going to be Yeush? You've given up hope on getting back the item. So there are two types of thefts in Halacha. There's Geneva and Gezela. Geneva is where the thief hides his identity. Gezela, he has no problem identifying who he is. When is there going to be Yeush? By Geneva or Gezela? And arguments can be formed in two directions. And yesterday we went through the formulation of the arguments in both directions. And oddly enough, it's a Mishnah and Kalim. Regardless of where the Mishnah is, it's a Machlokas tonight. And that means to say that by Geneva, so here's one way to argue it. So by Geneva, so I have now a Ganav who stole from me. So I gave up immediately. Why? I don't know who it is. In other words, he has concealed his identity. I don't know who it is. I'm not going to get back the item. On the other hand, when it comes to Gzela, so Gzela, I know who the thief is. He's no problem hiding his identity. He's more than happy to tell me who he is. And so he took it from me, so I'll get it back from him. I'll take him to court. I know exactly who it is. So that's one way to argue it. The other way to argue it, and again, this is now the position of Rabbi Shimon in that Mishnah. We're going to see all this inside in just a moment. Rabbi Shimon says, no. When it comes to a Ganav, so I know he hid his identity, but it can't be that strong. Meaning, why do you think he hid his identity? Because he's not that particularly strong. So what I'll do is I'll figure it out. I'll discover who it is. I'll take him to court. No problem at all. And so therefore, there's no Yeush. On the other hand, by Gazlan, the Gazlan has no problem telling me who he is. In other words, clearly the man is stronger than me, physically, politically, whatever the case is. I'm not going to be able to get it back from him. And therefore, Yeush occurs immediately. So we can argue in either one of those directions. And again, not we, but the Tanaim argue this point. And Tanan Hasam. Okay, so here we are with a Mishnah it's a Mishnah in Kalim. And that is, so we're on Kuf Yudal Amud Aleph, and we are about two-thirds of the way down. Kuf Yudal Amud Aleph, it's about two-thirds of the way down. Yeah. So Tanan Hasam, so the Mishnah in Kalim, Orish Balabais Machshava Mitama San. So if it's Balabais, in other words, the hide is by the Balabais. Remember we talked yesterday. We have hides over here. In other words, they're processed but not fully processed. You didn't make shoes out of them. But what I could do is I could use it for my front mat of my house. In other words, they're usable. So who can make that determination whether we're going to use it or not use it? So the halacha is that the balabais, the end user for sure. So the end user, okay, right, I know I'm speaking now computers. So the end user for sure now can make that determination. Shalava done, however. If it was the Avadan, if it was the Tanner, so he cannot make that determination because what he's going to do is he's going to end up selling it. So Ein Machshava Metamasam. Now, that's wonderful and good, but it's this part of the Mishnah that we're interested in. Shel Gazlan Ein Machshava Metamasam v'Shel Ganav Machshava Metamasan. So according to the Tanakhama, the Gazlan, so the Gazlan is not the owner, so he cannot impose his Machshava on the item because he's not the owner. Because again, according to the Tanakhama, the Gazlan is not the owner because there's not Yeush. However, when it comes to the Ganav Machshavas Matamasam, he becomes the owner. Why? Because there's Yeush. Because again, the Tanakhama believes that there's Yeush, Tam Yeush by Geneva. Now Rabbi Shimon Amar Chilaf Advarim, Rabbi Shimon says exact opposite. And then it's Shogazla Machshavas Matamasam, Shogazla Machshavas Matamasam, Lefishul and Siyashu Abalam. Okay, good. And so, and we already spoke it out outside now, so we have a basic machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. When is there Stam Yeush? By Geneva or by Gzela? Good. That's the Mishnah in Kalim. Perek Chavav, 26th chapter of Kalim. Amar Ula Machlokis Bistam. Aval B'yadua Divrei HaKol Yeush Kani. Okay, so now, according to Ula, yes, we're having a Machlokis, but Bistam, meaning we don't know whether there was or there wasn't a Yeush. So what is our assumption? What is going to be our default assumption? But according to Ula, if we don't have to assume, i.e. we know, we heard directly from the owner. The owner said, uh-oh, the item was stolen from me. I'm mi ya'esh. So now at this point in time, we're not guessing, we know. So Ula makes what seems to be, quite frankly, a really common sense comment, which is, okay, well, if we're hearing that he's mi ya'esh, so therefore we can assume ye'esh. Ula's not saying much of a chiddush. Rabbah, on the other hand, is my opinion, but Rabbah, on the other hand, is saying a really big chiddush, which is Rabbah Amar Biyadua Nami Machlokis. And Rabbah will tell you, even Biyadua, there's still going to be a Machlokis between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon, which means that according to Rabbah, let's start with the Tanakhama. So Tanakhama says that there's going to be Yeush by by gzela, but not by geneva. Okay, other way around. According to the Tanna Kamma, there's going to be yesh by geneva, but not by gzela. Right. So that means to say that according to the Tanna Kamma, even if by gzela, you heard the owner say someone stole it from me, and it's a gazlan. And normally I'm not going to be miyayish, meaning that's the default. But I'm telling you, I'm going to be miyayish. According to Rabbi, even though he said it, that's not yayish. Because he knows who the thief is. And right now, it might be a momentary lapse of confidence that he's ever going to get it back. But he didn't mean it. Okay, which again, it's rather remarkable. You're saying yayish, you're giving up hope. But according to Rabbi, no, he didn't really give up hope. And he still retains the name of the owner. Okay, so that is Shitas Rabba, that even by Yadua, there's still going to be a machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Amalei Abai l'Rabba lo tipuk ala du'ula. So Abai, the Talmud of Rabba, and also, by the way, the godson, the stepson of Rabba. So he says to Rabba, don't argue with Ula. Meaning, I think Ula's right over here. The number masis and kavaseh l'fishalon siyashu abalim. So time to learn Siyashu Abalam, Aval Nisiyashu Abalam, Harayel Shalom. All you have to do is just read the Mishnah. The Mishnah, at its really superficial and simplistic reading, I say simplistic over here, meaning the easiest way to read it is that when you don't know about Yeish, you're going to assume that Harayel Shalom. But in other words, but if you do know about Yeish, so then he gave up hope. So Amarlay, Anan Lafisha, and Yeish, Abalam, Masnis, and Lay. So Rabbi, we'll tell Abaye, good. You read the Mishnah that way. I'll tell you how I read the Mishnah. I read the Mishnah, Lefi She'in Yeush Labalim. There is no Yeush. Meaning even if you hear about Yeush, it doesn't exist. Meaning, again, each position respectively. According to the Tanna Kamma, by the Gazlan. Nope, there's no Yeush. He says Yeush, he didn't mean it. And according to Rabbi Shimon, we'll do the same thing by the Ganav. Right, again, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's going to be Yeush. No, there's no Yeush by Ganav, according to Rabbi Shimon. Sorry, just had to organize the information in my head. So according to Rabbi Shimon, even if he says Yeush, again, he didn't mean it. Okay, Tanan. Not Mochsim Chamoro. Now we go back to our Mishnah. So what happened was is that the Mochis took a donkey, replaced it with one of his own. Again, the Mochis is a gazlan. In other words, we're talking about a moches who is collecting taxes illegally. And so, and you know who the moches is. He's a gazlan. And so in our Mishnah, so what do we say? So if he gives you a chamor, so what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to keep the chamor. Why? Because of yesh. So money. So the Gemara says, Ira ban kasha gazlan, v'ish Rabbi Shimon kasha ganav. Now it happens to be that in the Mishnah, we have an example of gazlan, i.e. moches. And we also have an example of a ganav, i.e. a ganav, right? Look back at our Mishnah. Both are there. So now, Bishlam ala'ula damra biyadu kanihachinami biyadua. Now, according to Ula, we don't have a problem. Why? Because Ula would tell you that if you know there was Yeush, and then there's Yeush. Okay, good. And our Mishnah over here, even though it's describing both a ganav and a gazlan, is talking about where you know there's Yeush, and therefore there's Yeush. Perfect. But El Rabba Damar Biyadu and Ami Machlokes Hamani Lo Rabba and Lo Rabbi Shimon. But according to Rabba, where even where you know there's Yeush, I don't believe it. Meaning, even when you hear about Yeush, and even if you heard it directly from the source, there's no Yeush. Again, according to the Chachamim, there's no Yeush by Gzela, and according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no Yeush by Geneva. So then that means then that our Mishnah is not subscribing to a position. It's not subscribing to Rabbi Shimon exclusively, nor is it subscribing to the Chachamim exclusively. Why? Because I'm just talking about a ganav and a gazlan. So the Gemara says, you know what? I'll say the following. And that is our Mishnah, Belistim Mizuyim, Rabbi Shimon, when our Mishnah is talking about Listim, it's talking about Listim Mizuyim. Meaning the ganav under review over here is somebody who held you up. Okay, good. So, and the halacha is that he's a gazlan. Okay, good. So for Rabbi Shimon, and it's going like Rabbi Shimon. So meaning, and our Mishnah is talking about a case where Gzela, Sam Yeish by Gzela. So Ihachi Hainu Gazlan. So the Gemara says, okay, but then that's very strange. Meaning then what comes out now is that It's basically our Mishnah is giving an example of Gazlan, followed by another example of also a Gazlan. So the Gemara says, okay, Trey Gavne Gazlan. The Gemara says, okay, I know it's strange, but that's how you read the Mishnah. Tashma Ganava Gazlanva Ana. So the Gemara says, okay, we have a Braisa. Hektation Hektish Trumas and Trumama Maestrosa Maeser. Okay, so you have any one of the above. A Ganava Gazlanva Ananas. Basically, people who took, who had no right to take, either via Geneva or via Gzela. Or anus over here, anus extortionist. In any one of those, in any one of those scenarios, they take it, they own it. Now, money, Rabban and Kasha Gazan, e Rabbi Shimon Kasha Ganav. So Bisham Alula Damar Biyadu Kani Hachina Biyadu of Divrei Akolhi. Oh, good. Again, according to Ula, it works out really fine. It works out great because according to Ula, when you know there's Yeush, so then there's Yeush, and so therefore this Ganav, this Gazan, this anus, all acquire the item when you know there's Yeush. According to everybody. So according to Ula, it works out fine. But again, the problem comes out according to Rabba, because according to Rabba, everyone's still going to be holding their lines, even when you know there's Yeush. So then that price is following like nobody. So Hachanami, Balistim Azuyim, Rabbi Shimoni. So Yahachi, Hainu Gazlan, Trey Gavne Gazlan. Again, the Gemara says that when it says ganav, it means being held up, listim mizuyim. And in other words, so now it's gazlan followed by another case of gazlan. Gemara says, yeah, I know.
Ibai say ma hamas. It makes sense that if somebody comes with a gun, listim mizuyim.
Yeah.
That everybody would agree that you're meyayish on this.
No, not everyone would agree, but I understand. No, I understand your point, but it's a machlokus between Rabbi Shem and the Chacham. Now, the Gemara says, let's go with another approach altogether, and that is, let's introduce the third Shita. In other words, we have the Chachamim, we have Rabbi Shimon, that's the Mishnah Kalim, and now let's introduce ourselves to a third Shita, Rabbi Huda Nasi. Rabbi Huda Nasi represents the third Shita. Now, what's his Shita? Ganav Kegazan. Now, Geneva and Gzela are equal. Great. V'kaimalan kigazal le Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara is so funny right now, as we turn to the Amud Beis of yesterday's stuff. The Gemara is so funny right now. And oh, by the way, says the Gemara, let me give you the short version of this discussion, which is that Ganav is kigazlan. Meaning like the Shita Rabbi Shimon. Meaning that there's Stam Yeush both by Geneva and by Gzela. That's the short version. Which now means that good. So in other words, so there's going to be Stam Yeush. So now the Braisa that we just learned together, also with our Mishnah, it's talking about Ganav, it's talking about Gazlan. We don't have to give Okimtas. In other words, we are talking about Ganav and Gazlan, but we are holding like the Shita Rebbe. Rebbe feels that there's going to be Yeush by both. Good. And it'll work. And it works out if we follow the Shita of Rebbe. Gufa. The Gemara says, now I gave you the short version of the story. Now let me give you the long version. Which is funny because now we have conclusion in hand. We know how the story is going to end. In other words, according to Rabbi, Ganav and Gazlan are the same in that they're both going to be Stam Yeush. Okay, that's a conclusion. So if you're about to get lost, I'm going to try not to. But if you're about to get lost in the upcoming discussion, we all know how the story is going to end. Okay, Gufa. So the Gemara says, okay, let's start. Rabbi Omer Omer Ani Ganav Ki Gazlan. Okay, so Ganav is like Gazlan. Great. So Ibai Lehu. Kegazan de Rabbanan kamar velokani oduma kegazan de Rabbi Shimon kamar vikani. Oh, okay, great. So they're the same, but the same in whose position? Like the Chachamim where there's no Yeush, or like Rabbi Shimon where there is Yeush. Okay, good. Good question. So Tashma not lemochsim chamar v'chulei mani. Okay, so what do we do? So first we'll go to our Mishnah here in the 10th parak of Baba Kama, and that is that your mochis took a donkey from you. But replace it with another donkey. And when we learned the Mishnah yesterday, by the way, I already commented how strange it is. In other words, he took a donkey, he replaced it with a donkey. Okay. I know it's strange, but I guess just to explain the Mishnah, in other words, he took what he felt was a really nice donkey, and he gave you back something schwacher. Okay. Whatever the case is, it doesn't matter. The point is that you're moches. What is he? He's a gazlan. So money. Now, in the Mishnah, it's not just the case of the moches, but it's the moches, it's listim. It's a whole bunch of thieves mentioned in the Mishnah. Now, Rabban Kasha Gazlan V, Rabbi Shimon Kasha Ganav. And again, we're just asking the same questions. But remember now, right, in this discussion, We're just trying to ascertain what is the Shita Rebbe. We know where the Chachamim stand. We know where Rebbe Shimon stands. We just want to know where Rebbe stands. And again, by the way, we already know how it's going to end. But right now, we're going to pretend like we don't know. So, Iyamar Peshlama Rebbe Kigazlan, the Rebbe Shimon Kamar, Vikani Hamani Rebbe Hi, Mishum Hachi Kani. Good. So, if Rebbe holds that Gazlan, that Ganav is like Gazlan, like Rebbe Shimon, in that there's Sam Yeish, perfect. So, our Mishnah is going like Rebbe. Ela Iyamar Gazlan, the Rabban and Kamar, Velo Kani Hamani, Lo Rebbe Shimon, Velo Rabbanan. But if you're going to take Rebbe and slide him over to the Chachamim, that there's no Yeish, neither is there going to be Yeish by Geneva, nor is there going to be Yeish by Gzela. So then our Mishnah that says that Yekona, who's our Mishnah following like? So Hachavah Mayiskinu, so the Gemara says, Belista Mezuyim, Rebbe Shimon, he, Achi, Hainu Gazlan, Trey Gavni Gazlan. So the Gemara says, okay, so our Mishnah is going to be set up as a case of Lista Mezuyim, which means that that's going to fall under the category of Gzela, and our Mishnah is giving multiple examples of Gzela. Okay, done. Tashma, we're going to do this again. I'm going to go quickly over here. So you have a ganav or any one of the above thieves, and what they do is that after taking it, they take off truma because they're so religious. Because they're so religious. Anyway, good. I could have made that comment earlier today. Anyway, but you understand the point. The point is that they own it. They own it. Okay. Granted, by the way, how they got it was not right, but they own it. So, E Rabban and Kasha Gazlan, and E Rabbi Shimon Kasha Ganav, and E Amar Bishlama Ganav Gazlan, the Rabbi Shimon Kamar, Misham Hachikani. Now, good. If Rabbi held like Rabbi Shimon, that there's Stam Yeish by Gzela, and he says, and also Geneva, so perfect. So the Brisa works out perfectly. In other words, in any one of the above examples, Ganav, Gazlam, Anas, so if you there's an acquisition that was made, there was a kingdom that was made. Good. And that's why you could take off truma, et cetera, et cetera. But again, if we're now going to say that when Rebbe says they're equal, Gazlan's like Ganav, in that there's no kinyan, so then the Brisa, of course, makes no sense. So the Gemara says, Belista Mezuyim, Rebbe Shimon he. So the Gemara says, no, maybe the Brisa is talking about words Belista Mezuyim, and the Brisa is going like Rebbe Shimon. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, Hainu Gazlan, Trey Gavni Gazlan. Okay, and again, there are two examples of Gazan. The Gemara says, yeah, two examples of Gazan. Amalei Rav Ashkel Rabba Tashma Demasni Rebbe LeRebbe Shimon Berei. This is now the third time that we're going to make this point here in our Perek. That's great. Third time means Chazara. And that is, remember our Mishnah? First Mishnah in the 10th Perek. What happened is that Dad stole. Then Dad died. And now the kids, do they have to return the stolen goods? Yes or no? So the Mishnah at the very end says, well, if it's a Davar HaMisuyam, okay, not exactly the language of the Mishnah, right? Davar Sheyesh Bo Achrayus. That's the language of the Mishnah. So then the kids have to return it. What does that mean? So remember how Rebbe taught the Mishnah to his kid, Rebbe Shimon? Lo Davar Sheyesh Bo Achrayus, Ma Mishal Afila Par V'Chorish Bo Chamor Chamor Chav V'Chayam La'achzer Mimnei Kvod Aviyahem. In other words, Davar Sheyesh Bo Achrayus is a Davar Mesuyam. It's an identifiable item. And what happens now is that as the kid is walking around this cow, everyone is going to point to it. You see that cow? That cow, even though it really does belong to the kid, but Dad stole it and Dad was a thief, and we're going to remind each other how much Dad was a thief. And so, out of the mitzvah of Kibbutz Ava'im, so what the kid should be doing is should be returning it. Okay, good. Gone over this point already a number of times. So, time ibn kavod aviyam. Halav kavod aviyam lo. The only issue, the only motivation to return the item is because of this mitzvah of Kibbutz Av. In other words, but take that away, and therefore, there's no reason to return it. I.e., the kid is the owner. So, Shema Minah, Rebbe Gazlan to Rebbe Shimon Kamar. Oh. So, in other words, over here, so there was a kinyan. There was a kinyan, so Rebbe, and Rebbe's teaching the Mishnah, which means that how was the father being kona? In other words, the father's kona because there's Yesh. So, both by Geneva and by Gzela, there's going to be Yesh. Okay, Shema Minah. Good. Perfect. Okay, so we really do have now a conclusion. Now, mind you, by the way, as we are at the middle of the Amud, we already knew the conclusion. All you have to do is look at the first line of the Amud, right? V'kaimelan kigazlan l'Rebbe Shimon. Okay, good. Meaning, that was the Gemara giving us the short version, now we just went through the long version. Okay, we continue. V'chein echil shod devarim. Okay, my v'chein. Okay, in the Mishnah, what did we learn together? A swarm of bees. Right, you lost your swarm of bees. Okay. A great visualization, the beekeeper running around, looking for his bees. In other words, they were on his property, and what happened was that the bees just picked themselves up and moved locations. So now the beekeeper is running after them to get them back. Okay, good. So hachi kamer, afil nechil shod varam dekinyan derabban hu sakadat chamina kevan. Hi, Kevin. The Rabban Bama who the Kanile Afilu Stama Nami Miyaish Kamash Malan Im Nisyashu Abalim Im Ilolo. Okay, so the Nechil Shel Dvarim is a Kinyan Rabban. Let's explain this a little bit better. Okay, certain things that are on your property are not yours. Min HaTorah. Okay, we've gone over this point a couple of times throughout Shas, and that is, let's say, for example, you have a birdhouse. Ah. So the birds that are occupying your birdhouse, they're yours, right? No. No, the birdhouse is yours. But the birds, they come and go as they please. Okay. So really, they're not yours. We did this back in Gittin in the fifth parak. Anyway. But it's totally understandable that if someone walks into my property and helps themselves to a bird, because it's not mine, so there's going to be a fight. Okay, what are you doing on my property? What are you doing taking my bird? Okay, and by the way, the same thing is true with the bees as well. And hence, we're learning right now about the birds and the bees. Thank you very much. So even though min haTorah, it's not mine, the birds are not mine, the bees are not mine, but there's an institution called Darchei Shalom. Darchei Shalom is that the rabbis basically want there to be less fighting. Okay. What a better world it would be with less fighting. Good. So Darchei Shalom now is a rabbinic enactment. So the rabbi said, don't go onto my property. Don't take my birds. Don't take my bees. Meaning it's a takana derabana. Ah. So now with that in mind, the Gemara says, here's what I would have thought. The havamin would be that since this is only mine midrabanan, I would say that even though there was no yeush, a kinyan was made. No. If there was yeish, then you have acquired it. And if there's no yeish, you have not acquired it. Even though my rights of ownership are only operating on a rabbinic level, not on a doraisa level. Good. That's the chiddush. So I'm Rav Yochum and Broken Neman, Zisha Vakatim Vechulei. And we go on. We're still on Kuf Yudam and Beis. I know, it's a long daf. Yesterday's long, today's long. Okay. So now I'm Rav Yochum ben Broka, Neman, Zisha Vakatim Vechulei. Okay, now, where do the bees come from? So you can have now the reporting of a woman, the reporting of a child. And the Gemara asks the obvious question. Isha v'katam and eidus ninu. That's not reporting. In other words, they're not allowed to testify. So I'm reviewing, I'm Shmuel, hachab my skin, kagon shayu abal emirad v'macharehim. So isha v'katam mesichin lefi tumam v'omrim mikan yatsa nechil zeh. Okay, so what happened is the following, and that is that you got to watch the following scene. Okay, it's almost like a comedy, but this is real money. These are real people. In other words, it may be funny to us, but there's a swarm of bees, and there's the owner running after the swarm of bees. Okay. And the woman's now coming and saying, you know, I saw this craziest thing in the world. You're not going to believe what I saw. And the child, or the child is saying it. I saw the swarm of bees, and I saw the owner running after it. No. And this is what's called in halacha, mesiach lefi tuma. They're not testifying. They're just, in other words, they're just laying down facts of what they saw. And they don't even understand that they're reporting something. So, Mesiach Lefi Tumo, could we use that as testimony? Now, most of the time, the vast majority of the time, the answer, of course, is no. But there are going to be exceptional times in halacha where we could use this kind of reporting of what's called Mesiach Lefi Tumo. Am Rav Ashi, ain't Mesiach Lefi Tumo, kasha elei d'seisha bavad. So now, Rav Ashi says, well, what do you mean? Mesiach lefi tumo, in halach it's allowed, but only under very exceptional circumstances, eidus isha. Remember the last two parakim of Yevamos? We did this at length. And that is the idea, that if a woman's husband goes away and doesn't come back, and now we don't know, where is he? Or what's his status right now? So, min haTorah, what we need is two witnesses, adult males, to come back and say that he died. However, midrabanan, what we allowed is any kind of testimony, hearsay, even a woman coming back and telling us that he died. And that is operating Mesiach Lefi Tumo. Amalei Ravin L'Rav Ashi. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry, I'm revisiting the Gemaras in my head right now. By a woman, you don't have. It doesn't have to be Masech Lefituma. By a woman, she could report. By a guy, you remember, you're right. You remember. So by a guy, it's Masech Lefituma. Okay, good. So Amalei Rabbi Nelevashi V'Lavare Nechil Shadavarim Masech Lefituma. So the Gemara says. So what are we doing? We're just adding now. In other words, by the swarm of bees, we're adding. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. Correct. So Shani Nechil Shadavarim Dekinyan Derabbanu. Yeah. In other words, we can. Why? Because anyway, by the Nechil Shel Devarim, it's the Kinyan's the Kinyan de Rabbanan. So what we're allowed to do is that we're going to relax the rules a little bit. In other words, it's not Zela, it's Darche Shalom. Okay, so we're going to relax the rules. So Udaraisa Love Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Ma'isa Bad Mechash Ayam Esich Lefi Tumav Amar Zichur Ani Kishani Tinukum Rakavni Al Ketefa Shal Abba Votzi Ani Beis HaSefer. I'm going to read this quickly. A childhood memory, I'm just going to leave out all the details, a childhood memory of me eating truma. And now, in other words, apparently what happens is that this person, we don't know anything about him. In other words, but he is giving us a childhood memory. And Rabbi Chanina Masayim Bahachi, V'chavei Rabbi Delami, many of my friends would move away from me. V'ikon Osi Yochanan Ochel Chalos, and they would refer to me as Yochanan, the eater of basically Truma. And hello, Rabbi Lekuhuna, when Rabbi heard all this, Rabbi said, okay, in other words, we can assume he's a Kohen, and we're going to be able to give him Truma, all because of a childhood memory, which we're putting under the category of Mesich Lefi Tumo. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Alpiv. So the Gemara's answer is Betruma de Rabbanan. Okay. Even as Rebbe elevated his status to becoming a Kohen and eating Truma, not Truma min Torah, but rather Truma mid Rabbanan. Okay, fine. So in other words, the Mesiach Lefi Tumo is not going to be enough testimony to go and allow him to eat something on a Torah level, but something rabbinic, Truma de Rabbanan, that will allow. And oh, by the way, it makes perfect sense because who's the one who allowed him to become a Kohen? Rebbe. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is living after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, right? This point over here is Rashi's point. It's not an original thought. And after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, so Truma is not operating on a Din D'Oraisa, only on a Din D'Rabbanan. That's Rashi's explanation of Agamar over here. Okay. V'akati b'D'Oraisa lo v'ha ki asa Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Chana Kartigna. Okay. Deep dive over here, by the way. I'll give you the short version of it. Kartigna is Tunisia. Okay. Okay, fine. Good. What's it called? Anyway. V'yamri la Rav Acha Kartigna Mishtai. Maisa balifnei Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi v'amri la. Maisa balifnei Rabbi betino kechach ayam esich lefitum of omer aniva imi nishbesi labein ovde kochav. So a child is reporting that he and his mother, Rachmanis, was taken into captivity. And yasasi l'shavayim dati alimi lo kod eitzim dati alimi v'hisiya Rabbi Alpiv Lekuhuna. Now, a shvuya, a woman taken into captivity, is unfortunately given the status of a zona. Okay, that's the general assumption that she was with her captors, and even though it was ba'ones, but it doesn't matter. In other words, it changes her status. She's not allowed to marry a kohen. Okay, but because now of the reporting of her child, so therefore she is not given the status of a zona, and she would in fact be allowed to marry a kohen. And once again, here's now another example. Again, the child is not giving edus; it's mesiach lefi tuma, and yet we're believing the child. So the Gemara says again, b'shvuya hikilo. So the Gemara says, yeah, but this is a case of shvuya, and we have a right to be mako by shvuya. A shvuya, we don't know that she was with her captor; it's only a cheshash. So now we don't know that she was with her captor, bolstered by the fact that her son is reporting, i.e. Mesiach Lefitumo, you can take those two pieces of information together and you can keep her in her chazaka of being not a zona. Okay, so another example in which we're going to allow Mesiach Lefitumo. So it's funny, we say Mesiach Lefitumo only works by Eidus Isha, and meanwhile, we've also now added to the list Nechil Shel Devarim, a elevation to the status of Kohen to Truma Midrabanan, and Shvuya. Okay, so we just added three more to the list, but admittedly, albeit, we added three to the list that are not really changing a Din D'Oraisa. The only time that we're allowing Mesiach Lefi Tuma to change a Din D'Oraisa is we're turning this married woman into a available single woman. That's where the Masich Lefi Tumo really works, so to say. Okay, and last point before we get to the new Mishnah. And that is that my swarm of bees went onto someone else's property. Can I go into the property to get my swarm of bees? Yes. Can I cut his tree down, his limb of his tree down? My bees took new housing. My bee's new house is the limb of my friend's tree. Can I cut the limb down and obviously pay him for it? So that was the machlokas in the Mishnah. Tanya Rabbi Shmuel Beno Shel Rabbi Yochanan Ben Brocha Omer Tanai based in Hushie Yorel Soch Sade Shel Chaver Vekotze Sochal Shel Chavero Lahatzos Nechilo Venoto Demei Sochal Mitoch Nechilo Shel Chavero. Okay, so new. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, yes, you can. In fact, not only yes, you can, Tanai based in, meaning so that there will be more harmony and peace amongst the Jewish people. So Beis Din said that, look, min may ikar hadin, of course, you're not allowed to go on other people's property and start damaging their property. And even though I'm going to pay for it. In other words, of course you can't do that. But understood that in order to increase the peace, so Tanai Beis Din, one of the institutions, Tanai Beis Din who? Wrong inflection. Ooh, Tanai Beis Din, and I'll give you another one. And that is okay. And I'll give you another Tanai Beis Din. And that is that right now I see that my friend, me and my friend are walking together. He's got a barrel of honey. Honey's super expensive. Okay. I'm not making a financial statement. It happens to be that it is, but I'm just giving you the context of the Gemara so you understand. Wine relative to honey, less expensive. It would be, from a cost analysis basis, the correct move to go ahead and spill out all the wine so that you can go ahead and collect the honey that's right now spilling out of the broken barrel. Okay, good. So you did your friend such a favor, such a service. And now, does he have to reimburse you? He didn't ask you to do it. Tanai Beis Din is that he needs to reimburse you. Okay. And finally, Tanai Beis Din, Shei Mefarkes Eitzav V'Toein Pishtano Shel Chavero. Okay. One donkey is carrying flax, the other donkey is carrying wood. And the donkey that's carrying flax, so that donkey died. And so now which is going to be delivered and shipped? Again, the flax is much more expensive than the wood. So again, from a cost analysis basis, yeah, in other words, let's just drop all the wood and let's load up the flax on the donkey. And I didn't ask you whether or not we should do this. We didn't make any kind of financial arrangement. Should I get reimbursed for the wood I just lost? And once again, the answer is going to be yes. Yes. Okay. And again, so this is all Tanai Beis Din. We just went through three of them. If you recall, back in the seventh parak of the Masechta, at the end of that seventh parak, we went through all of them. 10 in total, if I remember correctly. So we just went through three. Why did we just go through three? I'm not sure why we did numbers 2 and 3, but the one that we just went over is because of our Mishnah. In terms of me going into my neighbor's property, cutting down the limb of a branch that is right now currently housing my bees, and yes, I'm going to reimburse you. But in other words, I get to do that, and you can't stop me, and the Chachamim did that so that there'd be more peace. Hopefully. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of yesterday's daf. Not even. But you know, I'm gonna qualify it at the end of yesterday's daf so that I get to say we're gonna start today's daf. Okay, I'm already looking at the time. We're gonna go a little bit over time today, but fine. In other words, we're not gonna catch up today, but we're gonna at least make it into today's daf. Okay, and let's introduce today's topic, and that is gonna be Takanas Hashuk. Okay, Takanas Hashuk. Okay, let's put me today right now as a victim. Sure. And Serge today is going to be the buyer. Now, what do I mean? I'm the victim. Someone stole from me. Okay. And what happened is that Serge went into the market and bought the item that was stolen from me. Okay, so I go over to Serge and I say, hey, that's so funny. Where'd you get that from? Serge is like, I bought it. I'm like, that's really funny because that was mine. Okay. So obviously now we're in a little bit of a conundrum. So the Mishnah tells us, I know we're in a little bit of a conundrum. Here's what's going to happen. What's going to now happen is that I'm going to take back what is properly mine, meaning it's my item. But what's going to happen now is that I'm going to reimburse Search. In other words, over here, we're going to basically be sympathetic and protect the buyer. It's what's called Takanas HaShuk. And now, obviously, over here, what does that mean? So not only am I the victim of theft, but now I'm going to have to deal with the headache of having to now go after the thief and try to get my money back. Okay. Well, why did the Chachamim do this? In my mind, I think it's pretty straightforward. And that is consumer confidence. Okay, right. I can point to a couple places throughout Ch'as where the Chachamim want the markets to move. In other words, then when buyers buy, they want the buyers to be comfortable to know that you're, whatever you're buying, you're going to be able to keep, or in the very least, you're going to get reimbursed. You ended up buying from a thief? Okay, good. The item will be taken away from you. In other words, it wasn't your item to buy, but you'll get reimbursed. It's basically a form of creating consumer confidence. Okay, I'm not an economist. I can't even pronounce it. I'm not an economist, but in other words, but one of the things that you keep hearing in the business reporting is that consumer confidence is high, consumer confidence is low. Still don't understand what that means, but in other words, but the idea, however, is that the Chachamim made various institutions in the market in order to preserve a certain amount of consumer confidence. But good.
You're also encouraging business.
You're encouraging Geneva. In other words, eventually what the Ganav is going to, no, the Ganav is going to have to pay for that which he stole. He's going to have to pay for it. It's just a question of who's going to deal with the headache. The buyer or the original owner? So what we're going to learn together now in our Mishnah and in the upcoming Gemara is that the original owner is going to be saddled with the headache now of having to get his money. Serge is going to be protected. Okay, you like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Okay. So that's the basic sugya that we're doing right now, right? It's the sugya of Takanas HaShuk. Okay, it's only one daf in all of Shas, not even. It's really just the first amud of today's daf. But okay, but here we are now. In the 10th parak of Baba Kama, learning about Takanas HaShuk. Okay, we're here. Makar Kelev Asar B'yad Acher. So, lo and behold, look at that. That's my Sefer, right? Or it's my Kelim. What is it doing by you? So, V'yatza lo shem geneva beer. Now, the Mishnah gives us an interesting clause over here, and that is, oh, by the way, have you been reading the newspaper lately? I know that makes me sound old when I say that. It's okay. I wear that with pride. Okay. Have you been reading the papers lately? In other words, a wave of theft has been going on around here. So now Yishavu lokeach kama nasan v'yitol. Now here's the problem. Meaning what Serge ended up doing is buying something which was stolen. Okay. So now what Serge gets to do is the following. In other words, how do I know how much he paid for it? Okay. He's got a receipt. There were witnesses who saw the transaction. That's not usually how buying works. In other words, you don't normally get witnesses to come and say, hey, watch me buy this. Watch how much I pay. Okay, in other words, he purchased it. And now he's going to tell me how much he paid for it because I'm going to reimburse him, like I just got done explaining in the intro. I'm going to reimburse him for the item. And now I am going to have to go after the Ganav now and get my money back. So the Yishav Halokeach Kama Nasam Vito. Vim Lav Kol. And now let's say Im Lav. Now, if not what? If there was no reporting in the papers that there was a wave of theft, Lav Kol Heimenu, Shani Omer, Machon La'acher, V'lachan Ze Heimenu. You see, what do we have to be concerned about? What we have to be concerned about is that, look, maybe the truth of the matter is that maybe I sold it directly to Serge. Maybe. And then afterwards, I had deep regrets. Like, why did I do that? Oh. In other words, I want my safer back. All right, so you know what? I'm going to make up a story right now. So I'm going to go to Basin and I'm going to say, hey, Serge bought it from a thief. And now they're going to say, oh, okay, fine. So what you get to do is you get to take it back and you'll obviously have to reimburse Serge. Now, all that happened over here is that I got my item back and he didn't lose, by the way, because he got reimbursed. But of course he lost, meaning he wanted to buy the item. He bought it directly from me. And maybe all I'm doing is just fabricating a story so that I can get my item back. So why I need the reporting is that I need people to know that my story that it was stolen, probably right. Meaning we read about the theft in the paper. Okay. Now. Okay, the Gemara says, okay, so, you know, don't believe everything you read in the papers, okay? And we all know that. But in other words, don't believe everything you read. And I don't understand, even if there was reporting in the paper, again, what could have happened is the following. I sold it to Search. I the next day I'm like, oh, no, I want it back. Search doesn't want to give it back to me. So what I'll do is I'll create fake news, okay, and I'll tell, you know, in other words, I'll tell people, I'll report, I'll write up a newspaper, I'll start a newspaper that there was some theft going on in the community. And now when I go to Basin and say that the item was stolen from me and Serge bought it from the thief, and so what I'll do is I'll reimburse him for the item, but I'm going to take my item back. Maybe it's all predicated on fake news. So I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav. So the Gemara says, okay, over here, it's not fake news in terms of the press. What happened was, is that people came to me and in the middle of the night, and there I am protesting, Hafkana, and there I am protesting that something was stolen from me. So the Gemara says, okay, kol shekein ila matza. The Gemara says, what do you mean? All that could be staged. Just because the guy's out there in the middle of his house at night screaming, hey, someone stole from me, it could just all be an act. So Rav Kahana Mesayim Ba Mishmei de Rav, Ukagon Shai Samach Teres Chatur B'soch Beisu V'nei Adam Shalon B'soch Beisu Yatsu V'an Bor Kiraos. That's a word. Shal Kelim Shal Al Kitfeim V'akol Ormim Nignivu Kelim Shal Ploni. Gemara says, here's what happened. It's not a total act. I mean, it could have been, but it's really unlikely. What happened was is that guests stayed by me, and then overnight, so there's a tunnel that was dug out of my home, and people see now the thieves walking out with the goods. That's how I know I was a victim of theft. In other words, it's not just reporting, but there is real empirical evidence, a tunnel, and people seeing people leaving my house. Now, again, by the way, when all said and done, I could have staged all of that, but now it's getting to the point where it's really unlikely that you staged all that. So the Gemara says, now, how do I know? How do I know what, you know, that those are the items that were stolen from me? So the Gemara says, no. In other words, as part of the reporting, people are saying that Sfarim was stolen. Maybe they were small, and meanwhile, what was stolen was actually large. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, the Kami say for ploni uploni." The Gemara says, "No." As part of the reporting, people are saying that this was stolen. In other words, that they're identifying the item that was actually found. The Gemara says, "Okay, but maybe they were actually old, and what I'm claiming was stolen was new." So Kigon de Amre, Halalu Kelev Shalploni, Halalu Sfarav Shalploni. Gemara says, no, as part of the reporting, it was identified that this was actually stolen, meaning that which the people are reporting that was my item that was actually stolen. Okay, good. So what do I need over here is that in order for us to employ Takana Shuk, so what we need is that rumors of the item actually being stolen. The Gemara just clarified, like, accurate reporting. The Gemara in the 8th Perek of Sanhedrin, fascinating position of Rav, which is, somebody breaks into my home. Somebody takes my item. And then he walks out, he gets to keep it. I know, if you can't believe what I just said, I'll just say it one more time. Someone breaks into my home, takes my item, leaves my house, gets to keep it. Okay, and this is Rav Shita in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the 8th Perek, and that is the idea of Kim Le B'Derabimine. In other words, what did he do? When he broke into my home, I had every right to kill him. He's a Rodef. I have every right to kill him. And so now, because when he took it at a point where I had every right to kill him, so in other words, because he was Chayv Misa, he's not going to be Chayv Mamon. Okay, That is an unbelievable shita, but that's the shita of Rav, B'damim Kananu. Okay. You remember earlier in our Masechta, right? Just I'm going over a comment I made earlier. Earlier in our Masechta, so Rav was of the position that when you deny having stolen an item and you made a shvuah, so Rav says you were kone b'shvuah. The Gemara also couldn't believe it as well. Mm-hmm. Right? The Gemara there, earlier in the Masechta, you forgive me, I forgot which staff it was. The Gemara earlier said that, according to Rav, you're kone b'shvuah. Rav says, right, ha elokim. Like, I literally cannot believe that Rav said that. And oh, by the way, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rav also, same reaction. I can't believe Rav said it. Okay, but you don't, it's not a question of belief. Rav did actually say it. You acquire it. So over here, the Gemara says, so I don't understand. According to the Shita of Rav, if somebody broke into my home to steal something, he gets to keep it, b'damim kananuhu. So Gemara says, hani mila da kananuhu b'baba mechteros, de mekara masa nafshe l'ketala. Avahani, kevin de la masa nafshe l'ketala lo. So the Gemara says, okay, but we're going to make a distinction of the Mishnah and Sanhedrin in our case over here. The Mishnah and Sanhedrin, they broke into my home. By breaking into my home, they're now Baba Machteris, they're a Rodef, they're Chayv Misa. In our case over here, they came the night before pretending to be people who need lodging. In other words, look, we're travelers, right? We need a little Hachnasas Orchim. Would you mind opening up your home to us? Okay, fine. And then, right, and unfortunately, they took advantage of kindness. Okay, it's the worst, but in other words, but you know, when you're kind, you obviously run the risk. Okay, and that's exactly what happened over here. So in other words, you were kind to them, and they took advantage of your kindness. And in the middle of the night, so they just took things and they walked out. Even according to Rav, in other words, they didn't break into your home, so they're not chayav misa, so they were in kone bedamin. Okay. Fine. Where are we right now? So having learned the Mishnah, so there's this idea of tekanas hashuk. So that means to say, when the item is mine and stolen from me and Serge buys it, so now the Mishnah tells me that what I get to do now is I go to Beis Din and I say to Beis Din, look, in other words, what Serge bought was a stolen item. It's mine. I get to collect the item back, but I do have to reimburse Serge. And what I'm going to now have to do is I'm going to have to deal with the ganav. Okay, good. That's what we learned in the Mishnah, and that's called tekanas hashuk. So that when Serge purchased the item, so there's a certain level of confidence now that he gets to either keep the item, or if the item was stolen, he'll be reimbursed for the item. Good. The only thing that we just discussed now for the last 10 minutes is this idea of there has to be, and the idea already started in the Mishnah, there has to be rumors that the item was stolen. Otherwise, we're worried that maybe I'm the one who is trying to just get back the item that I sold. With deep regrets of having sold the item, so I'm just making up a story so that I can buy it back. Okay. So there has to be reporting that the item was stolen. Amar Rava. And now we're on the very bottom of Kuf Yud Amud Beis. About to start today's daf. Not bad, considering that it's 8 o'clock already. Okay. Fine. I told you, I'm going to go a little bit further today. Amar Rava lo shanu, ela. Baal habayis asur limkor kelav. Aval baal habayis shenu asur limkor kelav. Okay. So Rava puts in a significant qualifier on what we just learned. This idea that there has to be reporting and the reporting has to be specific and accurate and there has to be not just reporting but actual empirical evidence that the item was stolen from you. All of that, Rava says, that's only necessary when the person who is claiming that it was stolen is somebody who normally sells. If, on the other hand, it's a Baal HaBayis who doesn't normally sell, and I don't know, what was a garage sale? Or, I don't know, in other words, Tom. In other words, an unusual move on his part, but he sold it. So for that, if he now claims that the item was stolen, and now what Serge did is he didn't buy it from me, he bought it from the thief, we're going to believe him, even without all of the reporting. So, V'domi Tzarech Le'izuzah V'zabin. Okay, so the Gemara says, I don't understand, meaning when I have a Baal HaBayis, maybe right now he's in desperate need of cash, and that's why he sold it. So the Gemara says, okay, so there still has to be a Shem Geneva Be'ir, there still has to be some modicum, a nominal amount of reporting that there was a theft, but you don't need the kind of details that we needed previously. Okay, Itmar. Okay, so now what we're going to be discussing is the following. Okay, so we're right now we just learned about Takanas Hashuk. We learned about what exactly are the circumstances where we're going to enforce Takanas Hashuk. Now the next part of the discussion of Takanas Hashuk. Again, by the way, I'm the original owner. Serge is the buyer. And we have a Ganav over here. I'm not going to give him a name, obviously. So now we have the scenario where it was stolen from me. Serge bought it. And now Serge, I'm going to Serge and saying, look, it's right. In other words, that's my item. I'll take it back. I'm going to reimburse you. But now let's throw in the following variable. And that is, we know who the thief now is. Ganav Machar. So the person stole. Now Geneva. In other words, we didn't know whose identity is. He sold it to Serge and Achaka Chukar Ganav. And now we now know who the Ganav is. So at this point in time right now, so who's going to have to, who's going to have the headache of dealing with him? Is it going to be me or is it going to be Serge? Now, Takanas Hashuk will dictate it's going to be me. Okay. But now what the Gemara is at least considering is, well, now we know who the identity is. Can I get Serge to have to deal with it? Meaning, he is ultimately the buyer, and we now know who the Ganav is, and the item is rightfully mine. Meaning, can't we just simply say that I'll take my item back? And in terms of the headache of having to get his money back, maybe Serge should have to deal with the headache. Anyway, we now know who the Ganav is. That's the discussion. So, Itmar Ganav Amachar V'Achar Kachuka Ganav Rav Mishmei De Rabbi Chiyamar Hadinim Arishon and Rav Yochanan Mishmei De Rabbi Yana Omer Hadinim Asheni. Okay, so according to Rav, it's still going to be my headache, right? Rishon and Sheni over here. I'm the Rishon, the original owner. I know it's strange ways to describe it, but everything I'm saying is Rashi. Okay, so I'll be the Rishon over here, meaning it's still going to be my headache according to Rav. Meaning we're still going to employ Takanas Hashuk, and Rav Yochanan will say no. If we know who the Ganav is, so now I get to throw all that responsibility on Serge. And Serge is now going to have to go and deal with the Ganav because we now know who the Ganav is. Now, I'm Rav Yosef Lo Pligi Kan Lefnei Yesh Hadin Ima Sheni Kan La'acha Yesh Hadin Ima Rishon V'Tavai Yisru D'Rav Chista. So now, Rav Yosef would like to give the following, and that is that there is no machlokus between Rav and Rav Yochanan. There is no machlokus. They're just presenting two different scenarios. Now, it's lifnei yeush, meaning what happened was is that someone stole from me and I had no yeush. I had no yeush. So the item is mine. Now Serge bought it. Okay, now it's lifnei yeush. So now the item is mine. In other words, the item never left my possession. So now adinim asheni. So under those circumstances. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to be able to take back my item. I never had Yerush on that item. And now, as far as reimbursement, as far as compensation is concerned, Serge, you're going to have to deal with him. In other words, I never was miyayish. Okay, fine. And kan l'achar Yerush, and then what about if it's l'achar Yerush? So now adinim arishon. So now, if it's l'achar Yerush, so now in other words, the item was stolen from me. I had yesh. The item was sold, which means that you have yesh and you have shini rishus. So now you have a kinyan. And you have a kinyan. So if you have a kinyan, so now what? So didn't Serge acquire it? Vitarvayu islu de Rav Chista. That's why you have to read those last words over there. And we subscribe to Rav Chista. Okay, Rav Chista, reminder. The first thing we learned in the 10th parak of Baba Kama, right after the Mishnah, was the halacha of Rav Chista. Remember what Rav Chista said? You have a ganav who stole from me. You have somebody who then took it from the ganav. I can go after either party. I can go after the Rishon or I can go after the Sheni. I can go after either one of them. So over here, someone stole from me. Now, admittedly, Serge purchased it from him. But in other words, in our discussion over here, who cares? It was my item. So according to Rav Chista now, I can go after either. I can go after the Ganav or I can go after Serge in order to get back my item. So if we subscribe to Rav Chista, and according to Rav Yosef, we do. So now, if it's Yeush and there was a Shina Rishus, I still have every right to take back the item. And now the headache is going to be on Serge. I'm sorry. because there was Yeush, so now I will have to take on the responsibility of reimbursement. Okay, so that's a lot. It's a lot to process. I totally admit it's a lot to process. But here's what we just learned together. If we know there's Takanas Hashok and that Serge is going to get reimbursed if we don't know who the Ganav is. But what if we do know who the Ganav is? So over here, we have two opinions, Rav and Rav Yochanan, in terms of who has to deal with the headache of getting reimbursement. Is it going to be me or is it going to be Serge? And so Rav says it's still going to be me. And Rav Yochanan says it's going to be Serge. And according to Rav Yosef, there is not machlokas. It's just a question of whether there was or there wasn't Yeush. And everyone subscribes to Rav Chista. Okay. Now, again, by the way, I said it quickly. And I admit that's a lot to process. Okay. Amalei Abaye, and I'm not going to give you time to process. So at this point in time, you want to hit the pause button and you want to think this over and you're going to need time to think about it. I totally understand. So the Gemara says, okay, well, consider the following, and that is Manos Kahuna, where it's going to be like before Yeish, and we're going to have a Machlokas. How do I know that? So before I get to Amarav. Okay, so this is a Mishnah Chulin, the Mishnah Chulin, fascinating Mishnah. Every time you shecht an animal, so three parts of the animal has to be given to the Kohen. This is a Zroa L'chai V'keva. Okay, it's the last or second to last parak in Chulin. So somewhere in those parts of Chulin. So right now, the only thing you need to know is that there are four stomachs of a ruminating animal. That fourth stomach is the keva, and that's given to a Kohen from every animal. Okay, good. It's part of the Manos Kahuna. Good. So what do I do now? I go to the local butcher, my butcher, my shochet. He shechts in an animal, and what do? I make a purchase. And I tell him, what do I want? I want the whole GI tract. Right? Go from the esophagus and go all the way to the end. I want the intestines, and I want everything in between. Good. So I make a purchase of the intestinal tract. Beautiful. Okay. And now when I get home, I realize, oh, wait one second. The cave is still there. Now, what the shochet should have done, obviously, is that after he shechted the animal, he should have taken out the keva in order to give to the Kohen. But he kept the keva as part of the purchase. Okay, so can I now demand a refund? It depends on how I made the purchase. If I purchased it as a unit, I'm buying the entire GI tract. Okay, then it's understood that the keva is not part of the purchase and I'm not going to get any kind of refund. If I purchased it per pound, I'm going to go back to the butcher and I'm going to say, look, right, you put the keva on the scale. That was not for yours to sell. You needed to give that to the Kohen. And you put it on the scale and you charged me for it. So you're going to go ahead and obviously the keva is going to go to the Kohen, its rightful owner, and you're going to give me a refund. That's the Mishnah Chulin. Okay, so now, please follow because I know this is complicated. I know it is. So now the Kohen is the original owner. The butcher is the Rishon. And me, who bought it from the butcher, I'm the Sheni. Okay? I'm not giving you enough time to like really process it, but that's how everything lines up with our discussion over here. Kohen is the original owner, butcher is the Rishon, I'm the Sheni. And now, what did we just learn in that Mishnah Chulin? What we just learned together is that I'm going to get reimbursed. And I say me, meaning the buyer from the butcher is going to get reimbursed. I'm a Rav Lo Shanu Ela Shakal Atzmo. Ava Shakal HaTabach Im Hadin Im HaTabach. The only time where I'm going to get reimbursed is only when I took it myself. Meaning that the butcher shechted the animal, the shochet shechted the animal, and I reached and I took the intestines. So in other words, he never did a kinyan on it. However, if the shochet, after shechting, he picked up the intestines and he gave it to me, according to Rav, under those circumstances, hadin im hatabach. So now, now who's gonna have to deal with this? The tabach is going to have to deal with it. Okay. So that means to say the Tabach over here is going to be the Rishon. And we're also now assuming, of course, that there was no Yesh. In other words, the Kohen is not going to be Miyayesh. So this idea now that who do we deal with over here? Do you deal with number one or do you deal with number two? What it sounds like over here is that you're going to be dealing with number one, not with number two. Okay. Even though it's before Yesh. Ema af din im Tabach. So the Ma'udatim ain matanus kunin exalts kamashmalan. So the Gemara says no. What we actually mean is that you can either deal with the tabach or you could deal with the with the purchaser. You could deal with either one. Well, then why would I need to say that? Because I might have thought you might have entertained the idea that really there's it's not even a gzela, because we all know that the keva goes to the kohen and it doesn't even qualify as a gzela. That's what I would have thought. So that's what Rav is coming to teach me. Okay. Ula Abai Damar Pligi B'mai Pligi B'Derav Chista. Now, according to Abai, that there actually is a machlokas. So, then what is the point of contention? What are they arguing about? They're arguing about Rav Chista. Meaning, according to Rav Chista, when I have two thieves, the thief that stole from me, and then in turn, somebody who took from the thief, right? So I have thief number one, thief number two. So according to Rav Chista, I can go after number one or I can go after number two. So the Gemara says now that if you subscribe to the viewpoint of Abaye, which is that there is a machlokus between Rav and Rav Yochanan, what are they arguing about? They're arguing within the Shita Rav Chista. Okay. Okay. That's one way to position it. Okay. So we have a machlokus between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Okay, let's try to wrap our heads around this. I know it's a complicated sugya. We have a machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan, and that is that what happened was is that a thief stole from me, and then in turn somebody purchased it from the thief, and now I claim that the item was stolen from me, and I'm going to take back the item. Now, who is going to have the headache of seeking reimbursement from the thief? Is it going to be me, or is it going to be or is it going to be the lokeach? If we plug into Kanas Hashuk, it's going to be me. If we don't plug in Takanas Hashuk, it's gonna be the buyer. Good. And then we just learned together that if it's Hukar Haganav, where we now know who the identity of the Ganav is, so we have a machlokus between Rav and Rav Yochanan. What are they arguing about? Meaning we could propose that they're not arguing. In fact, that's one mahalach. But the Gemara says, no, really they are arguing. What are they arguing about? So one way to explain their argument is that they're arguing in the din of Rav Chista, whether you do or you do not subscribe to Rav Chista. That's one way to say it. The Gemara now is going to propose a different way to say it, Rav Zvid. And that is, Kigon Nisyashu Abalam, B'yad Lokech, V'lon Nisyashu B'yad Aganav, V'ha Pligi, Mar Savar Yesh V'acha Kach Shina Rishos Kanish, Shina Rishos V'acha Kach Yesh Lo Kanish, Mar Savar Lo Shna. Interesting. The Gemara says like this. What happened was is that there was a Shina Rishos and there was a Yesh, but not in the normal order. What is the normal order? What we've been saying almost the entire Masechta, since the seventh parak, is that what is this sequence? What sequence do I need? First I need Yeush, then you need Shina Rishos. Somebody stole from me. I gave up hope on getting it back. He then turned around and sold it. That is when the buyer has been Kone. That's Yeush and then Shina Rishos. What if we flipped it? What if first stolen from me, and then he sold it, Shina Rishus, followed then by Yeush? Is that going to work in order to create a kinyan? The Gemara says, that's the machlokus between Rav and Rav Yochanan. If order is inconsequential, so that means that Serge is rightfully the owner of the item. Doesn't matter which came first, Yeush or Shina Rishus. And now, when I go ahead and take it back from him, he's entitled to reimbursement. Ah, and I'm going to have the headache of figuring out now, of not figuring out, but trying to get now my money back from the Ganav. That would be one way to say it. On the other hand, the alternative way to say it is that no, order is consequential. And the only way that searches Kone is only Yeush and Shina Rishus. But if it's Shina Rishus, followed by them by Yeush, so then that's not a kinyan. So the item is rightfully mine. So then I'm going to be able to take back the item. And now reimbursement, the Lokech is going to have to worry about the reimbursement. That's another way to say it. As if we're done. We're not done. Rav Papa Amar Biglima. Kule Amalo Pligi Hadalamari. And Rav Yochanan Mishum de Rabbi Yana Amar Adin Mashani Din de Lokech de Lishkal Mi Balabais Vaser Botekanus Hashok. Okay, and another way to propose the machlokus over here is that look, the item is going to get returned. That is not on the table for discussion. The only question is whether or not there is an institution of Tekanus Hashok. Well, if there is, so then it becomes the original owner's responsibility. If there isn't, it becomes the buyer's. Now the Gemara says, now what a funny proposal. We now have Rav on the side that there was no Tekanas Hashuk. How could you say that? Meanwhile, Rav Huna was a student of Rav. No, good for us. Rav Huna was a student of Rav, and meanwhile, I'll tell you the following story. Chanan Bisha, Gan of Glima, you know Chanan. Chanan Bisha, the bad Chanan. Okay. With a name like Chanan Bisha. So you know he gets into trouble. So what he did is he stole a glima, vizavna, and then he turned around and he sold it. And also came to Rav Huna, amalei, lahu gavra. Now, Rav Huna says to the victim, here's what you're going to do, zil shari avitech. So in other words, what you're going to do is that you're going to go to the buyer and you're going to go pay the buyer. You'll pay him. And why are you paying the buyer? Because of Tekanas Hashuk. Presumably. And so the Gemara, and so now we're at least for a moment proposing that Rav does not subscribe to Tekanas Hashuk. And meanwhile, we know a case where Rav Huna, the student of Rav, actually litigated a case and told the original owner, look, you're entitled to get back your item, but you're gonna have to pay the buyer. And you're gonna have to now go after the thief and demand reimbursement from the thief. Which is basically Tekanas Hashuk. So how can you tell me the Rav doesn't subscribe to Tekanas Hashuk? So the Gemara says, Shani Chanan Bisha kem de leik alish talume minei, so kalo hukar dami. So the Gemara says, no. The Chanan Bisha was a particularly bad person. And we kind of already figured that out, by the way, because his name is Chanan Bisha. His reputation precedes him. Good. And so now, are we going to be able to get money back from Chanan Bisha? The answer is no. No. He's incredibly difficult. It's as if lohukar haganov. It's basically, even though we know the identity, it's almost the same as not knowing the identity. Meaning, and this is a good clarification. If we don't know who the identity of the ganov is, everyone's of the position that we're going to employ Tekanas Hashuk. Our only discussion is when we know who the ganov is, are we employing the protection of Tekanas Hashuk? Yes or no? And what the Gemara now is proposing is that according to Rav, we're not going, if we know the identity of the Ganav, we're not going to legislate Tekanas Hashuk, but we'll make an exception. Like, for example, Chanan Bisha. That'll be an exception. Why? He's so difficult, it's as if we don't even know who the robber is. Meaning, what are you going to do? You're going to get money out of Chanan Bisha? Good luck. It's not going to happen. And so, if that's not going to happen, so then we're going to go back to now protecting the buyer. I hope all that was clear. So the Gemara says, okay, another proposal, and that is that if we know who, if it's a Ganav Mefursim, everybody knows who this guy's a Ganav, so then we're not going to legislate Tekanas Hashuk. And of all the things that we said this morning, by the way, this is like one of the easiest things to explain, meaning that guy's a thief. How do you know that? Because everybody knows that. Okay, good. Now let's buy something from him. What? And we're going to protect you from buying from a known thief? That's crazy. And that's exactly the point. If it's a ganav mefursim, so then no Tekanas Hashuk. V'achanan bisha de mefursim ahava v'asur bo Tekanas Hashuk. The Gemara says, wait one second. Did you not listen to the last thing we just said regarding Rav Huna, Chanan Bisha? In other words, they protect the buyer in that situation. So the Gemara says, nah. So nehid the mefursim levishusa legnivusu la mefursim. So the Gemara says, I know. Chanan Bisha was a bad guy, but we didn't think he was a thief. We just thought, I don't know. In other words, his badness was exhibited in other ways. Don't ask me, I don't know. But in other words, no one actually thought he was a thief. That's why, even though the purchase was made from Chanan Bisha, everyone knows he was bad, but not everyone knew he was a thief. And that's why in that case we were there to protect, ready to protect the buyer. Okay. We did great. We didn't catch up. We went an hour and 10 minutes. God bless you, by the way. I appreciate your commitment and your dedication. If you're still listening. Okay. Where are we? We're still behind, but we did okay today. Okay, what we did is we finished up yesterday's daf. Sam Yesh, is it by Geneva, or is it by Gzela, or is it by both? So it's a machlokis between the Chachamim, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Huda Anasi. Okay, yeah, good. Okay, good. Okay, one second. You were here this long. We're going to say Kaddish at the end. adding to mitzvah. And so we finished that very long sugya of yesterday's daf. And then today we introduced ourselves to this idea of Takanas Hashuk, and Takanas Hashuk, which is buyer's protection. And under certain circumstances, we're going to go ahead and protect the buyer who bought from a ganav. We're going to take the item away from him, but in other words, he's going to get an immediate reimbursement. Why? Because we want consumer protection. And then what we talked about were the details of when is that true and when is that not true. Adkan.